Good afternoon, everyone. Greetings from Sunningdale, 11 a.m. And we're just thrilled to be with you guys. You're all brothers and sisters, and Josh Jen as well, and visitors. If you like what you see, I'm sure we'd love to have you join us long term. So my name is Joe. I'm one of the elders. I've been on eldership originally with Tony maybe more than 10 years ago. So I know Tony well, and Gavin was on that team as well. They all know each other well, and then we've also brought a deacon couple, Bassie and Abby, with us, and my wife, Donna, here. So we just want to bring our greetings and bring our love, and we love what God is doing here. We love Tony and Lindsay, and we also have Nick in our congregation as well, when we do see him now, because he's in the nations. And he now has a moustache, which I don't know if he's trying to, if he's got a better chance of attracting the ladies with the moustache. You know, who knows? So if you've seen, I'm not sure about American White, but if you have seen Nick lately, you'll know what I'm talking about. So today I'm sharing on the Holy Spirit, and I'm actually plan B for tonight because Joe Harry was supposed to come in and preach today. And I just really want to say to Tony, in submission, try get Joe again, if you can. Because Joe Harry is on the team with us, and he's an amazing gift. And I'd love you guys getting exposed to him as well. He's a really, really incredibly loving pastoral guy, and I'm sure you'll enjoy his ministry. And also, just from Sunday 11 a.m., we just love this opportunity to partner with you guys. You know, like we're in partnership with the gospel, right? So, like Tony said earlier, we're not in competition. We're in partnership. So we share our heart, we share our warmth, we share our love. You know, we're not trying to impress you. We're just trying to work alongside you guys, and we want to see lots of people get saved and lots of people get cleansed and discipled. Amen. So Leroy had a word when he opened up this morning in the prayer meeting that he was advertising earlier, that he really felt like that sense of giving is better than receiving, which we know that the Bible says, and that your life is, God wants to use your life. And maybe if you would indulge me for a sec, if you can repeat after me, God wants to do great things through my life. And then, if you can repeat this, God will do great things through my life. And before we continue, I want you to settle, in light of those two things we said, I want you to settle one thing in your hearts right now, is that without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. And once you've settled that, once you've settled that God can and will do great things for your life, and that you've settled that you will not be, that will not happen without the Holy Spirit, there's suddenly a change in you that happens where you suddenly go, okay, so that's what it's about. It's not about performance. It's not about how much I can learn. It's not how much I can suck up to the leader and climb up the ladder. It's not even about, you know, whether I have profile, whether I'm a community leader. God will use a donkey. God will use anyone. But it will take the Holy Spirit working through your life. And the Holy Spirit wants to say to you today, because the Holy Spirit is a person, he's a person of the Godhead. We know that they're separate people of the Trinity, right? Because Jesus talks to the Father. There's a sense that there's a separate person. And he also, Jesus says, unless I go to the cross, the Holy Spirit can't come. He's referring to a separate person, but they are all God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, would say today that he wants to partner with each one of you. And what qualifies you for that is the blood of Jesus. So if you're saved, the Holy Spirit wants to partner, and he wants to do two things. He wants to work in you to transform you into the likeness of Christ. So you start to look like Jesus. You start to look softer. You're a softer, more loving, well-rounded version of yourself. It's still your personality, but it's God shining through you. He's just making you more beautiful. in the spirit and in your character so that you look like Jesus. And it's very attractive to people. You know, you want to get married, just get sanctified. You become very attractive, yeah, to the young guys, because it's a very attractive thing when the Holy Spirit starts to work with your character. You know, you actually end up being a great potential husband or a great potential wife. So let the, you know, fastest way to scoring the perfect husband or wife, get sanctified. You know, let the Holy Spirit do it. Lord Jesus, just do your stuff. Then you're on the fast track, right? When you're resisting, hey, you're going to be single for ages, you know? So, guys, there's a little dating tip for you, you know? Everyone wants, you know, work on the hair and work on the whatever, but work on the character. It's very, very attractive. It's very attractive in the spirit. So, okay, we ready to go? All right, John 6:63 in the NLT says, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing." So everyone say, without the Holy Spirit, you accomplish nothing. And that's a very sobering thing for us, because I think that a lot of things are done for Jesus, but I don't know how many things are done in Jesus. And there's a big difference, because if it's done in Jesus, it will last to eternity. If it's done for Jesus, there's question marks around whether that would pass the test of the fire. Only that which is laid down on the foundation of Jesus will pass the test. So what I wanted to do today is I really wanted to show the importance of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of this session, and it's not going to be a long session, so I might go quickly through my notes. I want you to position you in faith as I say this, because I'm also positioning myself in faith. I'd love to pray for you if you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'll explain the theology around that, or if you're not sure, okay, or it's waned, it's diminished, and we can pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, okay? And I'll explain later how you can be a Christian and born again, but not necessarily had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because for some, it happens at the same moment of salvation, and for some people, it's two different events. We can see that in the Bible, and I'll show you this scripture as well. And then I'd also like to, and I'm saying this in faith, and if there's no one, that's fine, but let's not think there's no one. Let's believe for a moment that this guy sitting here today that would actually, that Lord would put faith in their heart for that to happen, is to actually pray for the gift and the release of speaking in tongues. And I'll explain in a sec that it's not a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it definitely is a gift and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that the Lord doesn't want you to live without, because the Bible says, and I'll explain the benefits of that. There's tremendous benefits for it. Paul says, "I speak in tongues more than all of you." Yeah, and we wonder, why did Paul speak in tongues so much? And I think one of the reasons was he was going through so many troubles. It strengthened him. But we'll look at that in a sec. The Holy Spirit is not a new thing. The Holy Spirit is not something that turned up with the Azusa Streets in 1918, it didn't just turn up, and it's a facet of the charismatic church and the Pentecostal movement. The Holy Spirit has been here since day one, and we see that in Genesis 1:1-2. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty." You can imagine, it's just darkness. "Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Holy Spirit is not a new thing. It's not the latest thing. The Holy Spirit has been there since day one. We also see that the emphasis of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 3:14, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus." A lot of words in this this verse, but have a look here. So, He redeemed us, okay, saved us, that the blessing given to Abraham, which is the blessing of righteousness through faith, come to the Gentiles. That's us. Any Jewish brothers and sisters here? We're pretty much Gentiles here, unless you have Jewish origin. through Christ Jesus. Okay, a lot of theology happening in this verse. But look at the outcome. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. It's almost like all of the stuff so that we can get the Holy Spirit. That is how important the emphasis of the Holy Spirit is. It's like, as Paul wrote that in Galatians, he's saying, guys, it's like we can do all the other stuff, but if we're not actually getting the Holy Spirit, we're missing the purpose of all the other stuff. Jesus said, I'm going to the cross so that he might come. Unless I go to the cross, he can't come. It's almost like he's going to the cross not only to secure our salvation, he's going to the cross to secure that the Holy Spirit would release upon the earth and that we could receive the Holy Spirit. Even more so than how David received it, because David received it, King David received in the Old Testament, looking forward to the cross in a diminished measure compared to how we have received it now, where it's just abundant. At that point, there was a special dispensation towards King David, which was like an anomaly. It wasn't a common thing. Now the Holy Spirit is poured out on the earth. It's an incredible thing. There's an abundance of the Holy Spirit now. And there is a command in the Bible for us to actually, think about this. There's a command in the Bible for us to actually be filled by the Holy Spirit. And that's in Ephesians 5:18. Imagine that. You don't often hear that. You hear, you know, don't sin. You know, love the Lord God with all your heart and all your mind. Love others as you would like to be loved. But it also says there, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command for us to be filled with the Spirit. And that's something that we need to grapple with. Because you need to take it personally. Don't think, that's for Tony. You know, that's for Tony because he's in full-time ministry. Or that's for the community leader because he's got to have strength for every Wednesday night to open his home, you know. Open their home as a couple. This is for you. So the Bible is actually saying to you, be filled with the Spirit. Now, how could we be given a commandment like that if the Lord has not made a way for that to be fulfilled in your life? God is not asking you to do something that he has not made a mechanism for that to be able to occur in your life. Which means, think about this, that means if you're not obeying the Scripture, if you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, are we sinning? I'm just putting that question mark out there because we're not obeying Scripture. You know, we should be going, hey, brother, I met Marvin. I'm a new community leader with your wifey. I met Marvin. I should be going to Marvin. Marvin, are you full of the Holy Spirit right now? Oh, I'm not sure, brother. Oh, my man, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm not saying he came across like he was, by the way. He was full of joy. I mean, he was sharing about some of his struggles, and I still felt joy, okay? So, well done. But this is quite a strong thing that the Lord is saying. Church, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brother, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sister, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's change our mindset on that. Let's not have a poverty mentality when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You know, what does everyone want in the world today? Love, joy, and peace. Why do we take drugs? Why do the guys drink wine? Why do guys get drunk? Why do guys get high? It's because they want love, joy, peace. And you see that in that commandment, it says, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's often the condition of man as we do all these things so that we can get love, joy, and peace. But the things that we go to receive that are counterfeit for the real thing. And that's why Paul is using that contrast. Why did he bring up wine? Why did he say, guys, don't get drunk, don't get high, but get filled with the Spirit? Because the effects of wine, of getting drunk and getting high, are similar. Who's been high on the Holy Spirit? Come on, guys. Who's been drunk on the Holy Spirit? I have, okay? But and these other things are counterfeit and substitutes for the real thing. It's not the real thing. You know, they say, you know, they take, you know, Coca-Cola, Coke, you know, the real thing, right? You can take that. I remember preaching, as I said, it's like cocaine, right? But the Holy Spirit is the real coke. Okay? Or, seriously, the drug addicts or ex-drug addicts in this room, and I know that you're there. Okay? Don't act like you're super holy, right? I'm sure statistically they're here, okay? You know? So, the Lord wants these things that the world chases after that cost lots of money and have diminishing returns. If I take one hit of a drug, next time I have to take a little bit more for the same effects. I get trapped. I get into this thing, yeah? And of course, with alcoholism and that, it's devastating. But the Holy Spirit is free. Hallelujah. Paid for by the blood of Jesus, but free to us, which is amazing. And it doesn't have diminishing returns. And in fact, it causes us to hunger more and more and more. And we see Jesus promises, make that promise to us that the Holy Spirit will satisfy us. He says, John 7, 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, from whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Rivers of living water will flow from you. Guys, if we're not selling, if I can use that phrase, the Holy Spirit, in terms of our evangelism, in terms of our delivery of church, we're actually going to be dead. Because the Lord wants us to be alive and full of the Holy Spirit. And he wants rivers of living water to flow from within us. And when he describes this and he says, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink." It says, by this he meant the Spirit. So, as we come to Jesus, realize that he wants us to overflow with the Spirit. So I'm going to do 9 effects and workings of the Spirit. I'm going to do them super fast for the sake of time. But I want you to be settled by the end of these 9 that 100% I need the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do this Christian thing without the Holy Spirit. So number 1, in general blessing, Isaiah 32, 14 to 15. "For the palace will be forsaken," similar to scripture we heard earlier. "The busy city abandoned. The hill and the watchtower become caves forever. The delights of wild donkeys and a pasture for flocks, until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high." The Spirit is poured out. "Then the desert," picture a desert, "will become an orchard, and the orchard will seem like a forest." The Holy Spirit, as you start to encounter him, as you have a baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you haven't had it before, as you start to engage the Holy Spirit and be filled with him and have your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit, you will notice just general blessing in your life. There'll just be a general blessing, and the Lord promises that. In evangelism, point 2, Acts 1:8, "But you will receive," who's struggling with evangelism? Pretty much everyone, right? Unless you've got that evangelistic specific gift. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," and so on. The Holy Spirit will help you in evangelism. And we see that with Peter. Peter, unschooled fisherman, stands up after they've received the Holy Spirit, preaches, and 3,000 guys in Jerusalem receive salvation. Peter, it wasn't Peter. It was the Holy Spirit teaching him how to evangelize. God, and honestly, every single one of us here is an evangelist. In the Holy Spirit. Some of us are almost like good evangelists without the Holy Spirit, okay? Some of you guys are like salesmen, right? But I want to say that in the Holy Spirit, don't sell yourself short. God can use you with your friends, your work colleagues, your family, and the Holy Spirit will give you the right word to say in the right moment. And we are in evangelism, we're building slowly. Some of you are just turning people to even just the concept of God. Some of you are starting to massage that he sent his son. And some of you are reaping and actually getting the salvation. Salvation is not, evangelism, it's not just the reap moment. Sometimes it's a sowing moment. You're just putting a little seed there. You're part of the journey. Don't sell yourself short. Someone else might reap what you sowed earlier. Now, the sower and the reap get the reward together. So just do whatever you can do in the moment, and whatever the boldness the Holy Spirit gives you in the moment. Number three, in knowing the mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. So these are the things that God has for us, right? These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. If you want to know what God is thinking, what are the thoughts of God? And God is the most clever, most brilliant, most kindest, most amazing, most everything in the universe. Who will reveal that to us? The Holy Spirit will reveal to that. God, what do you think about that young lady that I am intending to date? What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on this job? What are your thoughts on my kids? The Holy Spirit will reveal those thoughts to you. 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10 says, we're still good. I'm trying to go as quick as possible because I want to get to the good stuff. So number four, and helping us to how to pray, Romans 8, 26-27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. If you struggle with your praying, the Holy Spirit, this is the partnership that I was talking about. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what you should be praying for the moment, not what we think we should be praying. He guides us. So let him take over while you pray. Submit yourself. You give yourself over to the Holy Spirit so that he can guide your praying. If you haven't developed that skill, then learn to develop that skill. Ask your community leaders. Ask your friends that you see or seem to be so good at praying. Ask them. They will tell you that they give themselves over to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just takes over and they start to pray his prayers. It just flows. It's this living water that's just coming. It just seems to be bubbling. Like we heard Pierre earlier. I mean, he prayed this eloquent, incredible prayer. He didn't study at university for that. The Holy Spirit took over and he prayed for like 7 minutes. A perfect, you know, just diverse prayer. That's the Holy Spirit. He's giving himself over to the Holy Spirit. Point number five, in regulating our emotions. Okay, I did that early. Don't run to beer and wine. And certainly please, not any drugs for that pick-me-up. Run to the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What did I leave out? Kindness. Number six, in strengthening us, Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The Holy Spirit makes you strong. And what I wanted to talk about earlier, I mentioned it earlier, as you pray in tongues, I had a situation one day. There's about a 7-minute drive between Big Bay, where I live, to Malpos, and I was going to pick up my son from school, and I was really feeling out of it, you know. I think that young lady mentioned it in the beginning. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, how born again you are. You have these moments of weakness, right? And I'm just feeling very fleshly. I'm feeling like a bit depro. I'm feeling fleshly. I'm just feeling like my faith is not high, and I don't know why that happens, because we leak, right? You know, we can go to sleep with the angels and wake up with the demons, you know? It's weird how we leak, you know? But, you know, one day we're on fire and the next day we're like, you know, where's the Lord? But it was one of those moments, and I just started praying in tongues for 7 minutes. And I'll tell you what, as I prayed in tongues, I just could feel myself getting fired up. By the time I get to pick up my kid, man, I'm like Billy Graham, right? I'm just like transformed. I'm strengthened, you know. I'm not feeling any fleshiness. I'm not feeling any lack of faith. I'm just feeling fire. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 14:4. And I'm selling this thing of tongues to you guys right now in the Lord, because I really do believe that you need tongues if you haven't, and switch your mind over. If you think, I can't get tongues, okay? And you can get tongues slow, you can get tongues fast. It doesn't matter how you do it, just get tongues, right? And there's some great men of God, like John Piper or whatever, that haven't received, most of you guys know, Baptist big hitter. And he hasn't received tongues. But actually interesting, in an article the other day, guys were telling me he's actually open to it because he's seeing it in the Word of God. So I want to say, be open to it. Don't just shut off, that's not for me. Yeah, like many guys have given. I've tried, I've stayed and I've been prayed for. Man, you know how many prayer lines I had for tongues in the early days? I'd be like, he's getting tongues, I'm getting nothing. Happened so many times, but I didn't give up. Because Paul says, pursue spiritual gifts. I pursued it, and one day in my quiet time, I got one syllable. Like, take Bessie's tongue that was like, you know, 5 minutes, I got one syllable, like a baby, you know, learns a language like what's the first papa or dada, you know? Or mama, you know? So it was like that's, you know, it was like a baby, you know? It was like, that's all I got. And from that, it built into a language. Other guys, and you're standing there, next thing, this tongue is flowing, and you're like, how come, you know, how you got it that way? Doesn't matter how you get it, just get it. And don't give up, you know? Pursue spiritual gifts, Paul says. Number 7, the Holy Spirit helps us in convicting us of sin. John 16:8. And when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, that's the Holy Spirit, the context, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. So the Holy Spirit will do 3 things for us. Convict us of sin. And we all know that, you know, like that first moment we get born again and the Holy Spirit starts to come is that into our lives, it starts to, oh, I feel like I used to think that was okay. Now I don't think that's okay anymore. It's the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. He's going to lead us into righteousness, the scripture says, which is sanctification. The Holy Spirit is in charge of sanctification, making us holy one step at a time. You should be more holy next year than this year because there's a progress, right? I'm not saying that you have to be like amazing, but there should have been at least some improvement. That means you are growing and he's slowly starting to clean up your life. The Holy Spirit, and he also, the last part of the scripture, he'll make us realize of a coming judgment. Judgment's coming, guys, and in Jesus, you will avoid it. It's interesting, it's sometimes lost in that scripture. The Holy Spirit's saying, guys, there's a war coming. See all these like lovely curtains and all this stuff everywhere. It's going to all be burnt up. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there's big drama coming, and you don't want to face judgment because that's an eternal judgment that you'll be hidden in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit reminds us, like, hey guys, be on your toes. That young lady is sharing about, you know, staying. What's her name? I keep on referring to Aiden. Where's Aiden? Aiden, legend. So with Aiden, because the Holy Spirit's warning of a coming judgment. Not only for holiness, which is incredible, the beauty of holiness. Guys, let judgment start with the church. Just submit to it. Rather get it now than later, so that you will be spared. The Holy Spirit's warning us, guys, there's something coming. We don't know when it will be, but we will all face one life to live and then the judgment, the Bible says. Number 8, the Holy Spirit helps us to worship. You're struggling to worship, the Holy Spirit wants to partner you. The Bible talks about worshiping in spirit and in truth. That's John 4:23. Yet a time is coming and it's now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit. And Ephesians 5:19 in the NIV says, it's interesting that there's different versions of the NIV. I actually looked it up, but go Google Ephesians 5:19 in the NIV. It's so interesting because I know guys do. And it actually says, and songs from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you songs. My last point, 9, in ministry gifts for the church. And this is something that was huge, and I think Leroy mentioned it earlier. Every single one of us here have a part to play. You've got a gift that I don't have. I have a gift that you might not have. And together we show the gifting of Christ. Because Christ ascended and then he poured out his gifts upon men and women. And that's us sitting here. All the gifting that was in Christ is now spread out amongst all of us, not into one person. There's no superstars here. We're superstars together. Because I only have that much, you've got that much, you've got that much. Together, we share the gifting of Christ. And we see this Ephesians 1 Corinthians, which is classic Josh Chen, right? 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. It's not for yourself. It's not for you to look good. It's for everyone else, which actually means you don't own your gift. Your gift belongs to the church and to God. So don't be stingy with it. We could even say you're stealing if you're robbing the church of your gift. You must use it. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, thank you, love, by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another, which we saw today, the brother, coming, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, that was the one. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each as He wills. We're still good. So I want you, if you're sitting here today and you're not sure, if you've got the Holy Spirit, let's rally for those that don't yet have this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I want to give you some handles quickly on how do you receive the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit now and you want to see it. So it says Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it says you get a gift of the Holy Spirit at salvation. All right? I'm going to, for the sake of time, I was going to talk about a guarantee. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. Okay? It's like you've got check. Anyone remember checks from the old days? Does anyone ever use them anymore? So, the Holy Spirit's like a check. Salvation is written on it. And you're going to bank that check when you go to be with the Lord. And then He's going to pay out salvation. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit in you is a deposit. That's Ephesians 1. Might as well put it up. Man, if I'm out of time, Tony, I'm always like, I just want more to like lay into me, you know. But anyway, when he sees my recording. But anyway, Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. Supposed to do 35, max. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing. The check is a guarantee. So the cool thing about having the Holy Spirit in you is it's like, man, I got the check. And and this is showing my age. Does anyone know a band called POD? Okay, thank you, Pierre, older guys. There was a Christian rock band called POD. It means payable upon death. That's the check concept. Now let's talk about, so we're still talking to guys about, if you're not sure if you've received the Holy Spirit yet. And maybe I can get someone on guitar keys at this stage, if that's all right. And we'll just transition to a ministry time. So, there's this idea of immersion in the Bible. And anyone know the Greek word for immersion? It's baptizo. Thank you, Tony. Acts 1:5. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized or baptizo with the Holy Spirit. And baptizo means full immersion. It's like when a ship sinks. Anyone watch the movie Titanic and the ship sunk? Was there any of the ship still left on the top? Maybe it's a few fragments, but that's, the Titanic was baptizoed, fully immersed. Okay, and that's the Greek of it. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit is being fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. That's the dipping in the Holy Spirit. And the analogy is, it's a little bit like, have you ever been invited to those pool parties and you're a little bit shy? You know, you don't feel like swimming, or maybe your bikini body is not looking that great and for that season. And you kind of just got your feet in the water, but everyone else is fully in the pool swimming. And they you're actually in the water, but you're not in the water. And you can feel the difference because they're playing and they're going underwater and they're jumping around, but you just got your feet in. And it's a little bit like that for us if we're born again, but we have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is that we do have the Holy Spirit because we cannot be saved without having the Holy Spirit, okay? I want to settle that with you guys, theologically. You can't be saved and not have the Holy Spirit, but you can be saved and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we see this here in Acts 8:16-17, just to prove it to you. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. So for them, it was two separate events. And has Dimitri ever preached here? Okay. So for Dimitri, Nikephoros, Dimitri, it was two separate events. I think that gap between him getting born again and him receiving a baptism was like 5 years or something. And he says he did feel a massive difference. So it can easily be two separate events. Just as a quick survey, who had it as one event? Like, you know, you were baptized and born again in the same moment. Okay. Leroy, I know that was for me. Who was definitely two separate? You gave your life to Jesus and then later on, you see. Okay, there it is. Just statistically, right? It proves itself. How you can receive it. Everyone says that you receive it by the laying out of hands, right? Which is true. But you know that you can actually receive it just by sitting or standing in a meeting. And we see that in Acts 2-4. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So these are guys getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues just sitting in a meeting or standing in a meeting. Or it can come through the laying on of hands. Acts 19:6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So how do you position yourself to receive the Holy Spirit? Is there anyone in this meeting right now? Listen, guys, we're all friends here. Hey, you're curious. You're like, either the Holy Spirit's gone a bit diminished. I had it and, I need that fire again. Or you like many people that put up their hands, it was two separate events, and maybe you're still on the first event. Maybe you've just given your life to Jesus, but you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Listen, we don't have any special stuff happening at the front here except what we can trust God for. I'm trusting for God for it as much as you trust in God for it. I don't have the power. He's got the power. But I can see it in Scripture that He wants you to have it. So what do you do? How do you position yourself? Galatians 3:2 says how you should position yourself. Let me ask you only this, Paul says to the Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And to answer that, of course, hearing with faith. It's just by faith. You don't have to jump. You don't have to try fall over. You don't have to try shake. You just have to have faith in your heart. Whatever happens next is up to Him. But at least have faith. I'm hoping I'm convinced you that the Lord wants you to have the Holy Spirit. And I'm landing with the scripture here. And maybe as I land, maybe I can ask, who's got faith to pray for guys for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Will you guys please come stand over here? So these guys have got faith to pray for guys for baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then on this side, you might move over. If we've got too many guys there, we might move over. Who's got faith to pray for guys for a release of the gift of speaking in tongues? And you've got faith for that. Okay, so why don't we move you guys over here? Thank you. And if you want to know, you're going to need that before that. So if you're not sure, start there. Okay? So you guys might want to send some guys over here after. And this is my final scripture. Luke 11:9-13. So I say to you, let this speak to you. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, everyone say everyone. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, this is the line, will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's his pleasure to give it, and it's his command. And he wants it in your life so that he can do great things through your life. Because it's not us, it's him. Amen?